and welcome to the Free Idea Podcast. I'm recording once again from the comfort of my car in Austin's traffic, the beautiful city's traffic. Today, we have the prognostication of 49 minutes to get home. The weather is beautiful. Sky blue, a little gloomy blue, foggy blue. But it's all bright, trees are green and flowering, and the highway is as gray as always has been. America keeps being America. Oh yeah. And now in the news, let me avoid the news, I don't want to do it. Something interesting happened, but let's avoid it. School today was great. I had fun with the students. And the students had fun too. We are approaching the state exam, which makes all teachers very stressed. And that consequently makes all the students stressed because they are doing boring work, which is review, 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 practice, practice, practice. And they're doing that in every single class, very repetitive. So, sorry for the kids, but you know, that's the star. Time. We have 8 days for the star to arrive, and that's what we're going to be doing the entire week or 2 weeks. Now, for today's free idea, I just want to remember the poor soul, the tired soul. Your body is as tired as your soul is. I believe I already spoke about it maybe 3 times here. Just a quick recap, very important. No matter how much sleep you get, if your soul is tired, you are going to be tired. What does that mean? Well, it means that you are not doing what you actually like doing, or something is affecting you, which is what I've been experiencing lately. I'm trying to focus on what are those two things that are affecting me. You know, one of them is, of course, the news. I'm trying to avoid them a little bit more. Using my weaknesses to my advantage, as in looking at TikTok during my workout, my running. What else is there? And podcasting. I love podcasting. It acts as a journal. So today I just want to share this very random thing that only entertains me, but a student told me that sweetest message today. In person, of course. I know his message, but yeah, this student said, that she wanted to, if I was going to teach 7th grade next time, I'm teaching 6th now. And well, obviously I said, no, I'm not teaching 6th grade. I'm not teaching 7th grade, I'm going to stay at 6th. And then she's like, oh no, can I instead fail? Can I just fail your class? Can I fail? Or like she said, I'm going to fail all my classes so I can be held back as a 6th grader and I can give her class again. That was so sweet. And I'm like, no way, because then you're gonna get summer school if you fail all classes. And then she said, trying to call her bluff. And then she said, okay, then I'll miss summer school. And I said, well, no, because if you've missed summer school, then you're not gonna pass to the 7th grade, you're gonna stay 6th grade. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's exactly what you want, I get it. You know, she was just being sweet about it, but yeah, she's obviously not gonna do it. It's just a sweet compliment that I received. Well, I said, well, thank you, I'll take that as a compliment. But you know, don't fail your classes. And that was sweet. Little do they know that I'm planning on actually, not coming back. A lot of teachers already know that I'm not coming back. It's things like that make me doubt if I actually want to stay just for that, because that's sweet. Those type of comments, they're so sweet, they're like pure. And it makes me wonder, like, well, you know, I'm actually pretty good at it, seems like it, because these comments that I'm getting, and it's not the first person that says that. I've had different variations of that. I had just students randomly ask me if I'm going to teach 7th grade next year, and when I say no, they're like, come on, can you tell them to give you 7th grade It's always so sweet. And I was like, no, 7th grade is that teacher, 8th grade is that teacher, and 6th grade is me. You know, we always stay as the same grade. So that was interesting. I had that a couple times, and it makes me think, you know, maybe I should stay here. Just for the sake of making an impact. Children. Like, I'm happy I can be that person for them. 6th grade was my favorite year in the US. 6th grade and 12th grade were my favorite years. And as a student, 6th was when I came to America. And everything was new, and we had air conditioner, and I came from Mexican school, so my school didn't have it for 4 years. Until the last 2 years, we had air conditioner. And then the air conditioner would just freeze. You would always have problems for some reason. It would just, the tube, I remember freezing, and I would play often with the snow that it created around it. And so often it would stop working. And there was days that we just didn't have air conditioner. Most days we didn't have them and actually have air conditioner. So it was a big deal for me. Also breakfast, big deal. In the US, they would give us breakfast in the morning. Amazing. I was always grateful about that. Mexico, yes, I had my family make me breakfast, but that was once in a while. And that's nice. Here in the US, it was like every day there's breakfast. I was never used to eating breakfast. And they would give you a lot. Oh, back then, there was no recession, so we had huge milk and big juices and a big anything breakfast related. It was nice. It was nice. Now they have tiny, tiny, tiny juices and tiny, tiny, tiny milks. And I don't even know what the breakfast is because most of them don't ever get it. They don't like it. They always have the choice to get it or not. So yeah, recession is hitting them hard. Poor students, now they get less food. But also, even when I remember when we were students, nobody ever finished their breakfast. There was always so much left over. And nobody, we always had like a milk, a juice, and the main meal. And most of us just had, just we'll get the milk or the juice and leave the rest. Or maybe just the breakfast itself, and we would share it with others. If we didn't want it, we would give it to another person who did. And so there was always a surplus of food, I remember. Always surplus. And it was sad because they would tell me that whatever surplus was left, they would throw it away. That's what teacher would say. And that was sad to see whenever there was a lot of it left over and it would be thrown away. Sometimes the teachers themselves kept some of the food. And whenever somebody was hungry or anything, they would always have like a little place where they kept it and gave the students who asked for it. It was nice. Well, now they had these tiny, tiny juices. So that was one thing that I really like about the US. So we had air conditioner. We were inside concrete rooms. It was nice. And then we had technology like projectors. And then we had printables. I never had anything printed when I was a student in Mexico. Maybe it's my elementary, but I always had just notebooks, a backpack full of notebooks, and that's what we would use, a notebook for every subject. And we would just copy and copy and copy things from the board, and that's it. We didn't have access to printed pages. And so when I came to America and everything was printed, wow, I always felt bad though, because what a waste. With so many printed pages, everything was printed, printed, printed. So it is scary how much the American schools, how much paper they waste. Or they use, I wouldn't say waste, but they use. And all that is, I don't know, it's a lot of trees. But it is what it is. Now they're moving to the technology side of it, so I see why they want that. There's less printing, but actually there's still a lot of printing. There's still a lot of it. And so then my exercises,
my assignments were sometimes to color, like I was learning about the American culture. We would color catchphrases or like mudding the water, things that just didn't make sense in Spanish, but in English they were like phrases, and they were always fun to learn them by coloring them. And that's another thing that I never did before, color. Maybe in kindergarten, but yeah, America was a really fun place. And then we would celebrate the holidays here. We had a lot of holidays like Thanksgiving, and I remember my teacher from sixth grade would make us a table or like tell us to bring snacks and food and sodas, and everybody would pitch in, and we'll bring everything, and we'd have like a big Thanksgiving dinner as a class. It was good. And then Halloween, we would decorate pumpkins, like just paper pumpkins, or do like pumpkin related assignments. And then Christmas, we did a secret Santa in the class, and we gave each other gifts, but like they were like less than $5. It was really fun. Sixth grade was my favorite. And so I enjoy giving them that spark that I had when I was in six. I have a store in my classroom. They get points every day. They get these Doja points to the website. So they get 1 point every time they read the assignment. We have silent readings, so they read for like 10 minutes. And now we're increasing it to 15. Sometimes 20. I give them points as they read multiple times. I have somebody giving the points eventually and trained. Then they write a journal every day, which is what I used to do in school, and I loved it. In the beginning, it was always daunting. I don't know what to write, and nothing would come to my head. But eventually, I started writing more and more and more and more, and it was always fun. Yeah, it's always fun. And so I implemented that in my classroom. I make them write journals every day. Really fun to do that. Because, man, their handwriting was terrible and their spelling is horrible. And every teacher can agree. It's something that's happening with technology. The more that we use phones and computers that autocorrect the text for us, we don't really have to understand spelling. We don't have to memorize it. So even me as the teacher, I made so much spelling errors just from being used to using technology and not practicing. And that's me who actually learned how to spell things very purposely, learning English. So imagine them who grew up with this technology. So poor things. The journals help them a lot, straightening their handwriting and their spelling and everything. It looks beautiful. Now it looks beautiful. So much, much improvement from the beginning. That makes me happy. Their journals, they get points as they write. And then with those points, for every 10, I exchange it for an actual gold coin, which is plastic, no, pirate coin looking. And then with that coin, they can always buy things from my little store. So the last 10 minutes of class, I open up the store and they can buy candies, Jolly Ranchers for 1 coin. They can get some popcorn for 7 coins. If they want to skip the journal that day, they can give me 2 coins. If they want a positive note home, they can buy it for 1 coin. There's a lot of things like that. And then for writing the journals, for every half page that I see, they get a little sticky note, and I put it inside a bottle, and they get a raffle at the end of the week. And according to that, whoever names gets pulled out, they get a prize, and the prize is a croc charm. It's a little cute thing that you can put in your shoes, on your crocs, a little ornament of like superheroes or soccer or princesses or something. They really enjoy that. So it motivates them to write their journal. It motivates them to read. All these things is motivation to do their assignment. And of course, old school teachers, and I agree, that's how it used to be. It was like, they shouldn't need to be motivated. I mean, like this, with prices. They need to come to school and they just need to do the work, because that's what it's asked of them to do. They have no choice, or that's how it was brought up. They need to come in self-motivated or like at least try, because nobody's gonna do that for you later when you're old. But no, I tried to fight it off, but I always had issues with them getting motivated to write journals. I had the biggest issue having them write half a page. They would always just write me three sentences and nothing would motivate them. I tried taking off points. I tried giving points if they reach half a page. I tried giving 5 extra points if they did. I tried taking off points if they didn't, or if they missed that or missed this. I tried all of it. Nothing worked. I mean, it wasn't consistent. I guess it was working a little bit, but not as much as the prices. The prices, I tested it out with one class. One teacher told me about this idea and I tried it out. And my special needs teacher, shout out. And that worked. That one class alone was producing full pages in like a month. Full pages. And I'm like, wow. And every other class is struggling just to make half a page. And that class in particular was a mix of everything. A mix of students that are in mid-level, low-level, and high-level. It wasn't just high-level students or just low-levels. It was a mix. And they were outproducing every single class. So I'm like, okay. Eventually, I bit the bullet. I'm like, all right, I guess nothing is going to motivate them. I got to do this now with every other class. And I did it, and I bought the croc charms, and it cost money. And that's the thing that I don't enjoy about being a teacher. But yeah, you gotta spend money for your classroom, aside from already being low paid, according to other, you know, careers out there. And I still have to spend money on my classroom. And so what I did for the prices, I found some Chinese website that I could buy it from, Crocs. They weren't the best Crocs, but good enough croc charms. Implemented that with every single class, and it worked like a charm. Every single class started performing so well. Took maybe 2 weeks for them to actually realize the croc charms and everything and understand how it worked. But they started performing really good. Really, really good. They started making me half pages, some of them full pages, and now every class was getting there. And the class that I first tried it to, they're still outperforming the other people, but just because they had more practice than the others. They had more months doing it. But that's just amazing. That's just what it does. Prices. And so those are my two babies right there in the classroom, is my journals and my raffle, my silent reading and my points. They are great. They do incredible all the time. And the coins, they love the coins. They don't like they have to wait so long. But honestly, I think it has to be that way. So I pay them every, like if it was a job, every 15th and every 1st. I pay them twice. And if it was up to me, I would love to pay once a month, but I think that it's way too much to wait for the prices. But the thing is, it's just too much to, takes time away every single time I have to pay it. I'll figure out some ways to make it shorter, but yeah, it's too much. If I want to do it weekly, it's too much. With a raffle plus the coins weekly, it's too much. So yeah, I do what I do the way I can do it. It's fun. And so, oh, and then Halloween, I remember I brought up a little, a big skeleton, a human-sized skeleton, plastic from HEB. And I sat him down and I put a journal on him, and I would write journals on his notebook once in a while, tell him some stuff. It was fun. And then the students would get engaged with him. His name was Jeff. And they would write journals for him about like why I trapped him there and he cannot get out, and we put like journal 439 something. He's been trapped there for so long. His first journal was dated 1985 and some. It was funny. And then in Christmas, I put a tiny, 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 tiny Christmas tree. It was cute. I made them decorate the classroom, make some snowmen, and decorate, color them. It was nice. I really like, you know, dealing with the holidays. Now I'm thinking about doing something else too, which is called the Easter hunt. Easter is coming up. I would love to do something Easter related. Maybe put some eggs in my door. I would always decorate my doors and everything with spiders and Santa Clauses if it needs to. And now what I would love to do for Easter is start hiding coins in the school, just everywhere in the school, and make them do some egg treasure hunts. I would love that. That would be just so fun. I love playing the... Yeah, that's gonna be fun. To do a real Easter hunt, it would be fun. A real Easter hunt. With like at least one class. Go out there and outside and hide some eggs. But that would be just, you know, just for the fun of it. So I'm happy that my students are having fun. Some days, I think lately it's been better. I've learned ways to de-stress. And also I've been doing a lot more consequences and becoming better at being a teacher. Giving a lot of lunch attentions has helped. And all these prizes and motivational things has weeded out the people who really need my help. Like those who are motivated by just being in school will do their work. Those who are motivated by prices will do their work. Those who are motivated by the candy and the popcorn, they will do their work. And then after that, there's like a very few amount of people, maybe one or two in every class, that are not motivated by any of that. But then that's when I can single them out and actually see what I can do to motivate them. Some of them are motivated by positive notes home, which you've noticed. And another one is motivated by consequences of lunch attention. So, I mean, sorry, nothing worked on that one, so I have to start using the negative reinforcement, but that worked. I'm still working on that. What else can I do? At least to single them out. I know which ones are the ones that really need different type of motivation. Or maybe some babysitting. That's it. So far, it's been a fun ride. Almost over. The schooling is almost over. We have less than 2 months for school to be over. And I'm still pondering the same question. Should I get out of this job and get me a different one? I hate a lot of things about it, but a lot of the things that I hate it, I'm becoming more proficient at them than before. I simply am. The discipline is becoming better on my part. The being less stressed, but also more firm. I'm balancing that. The only thing I cannot control ever is the drama that happens in the class. Boy, is there a lot of drama. A lot of babysitting. But even that, I'm getting better at it a little bit too. Now that I can have communication with other teachers and such. We use one another to help one another. I send some students to their classrooms to work over there, and they send other students to my classrooms. And it works. You know, we lend a hand to each other. It doesn't have to happen every day, you know, just once in a while. Some motivation. So, you know, I learned that in psychology. There's positive reinforcement and negative reinforcement. We try our best to use positive reinforcement, and then once we weed out those students that grow in a positive reinforcement environment, we start implementing negative reinforcement, and that also helps those students that need it. Some, which are very few, but some need a lot of structure and a strong hand. And that was really tough for me, but now it's becoming easy. I like this phrase from Steve Jobs that says, which I don't know if it's true, he said it. I saw it in a poster from Mr. Beast video in his office, and it said, if you want to make people happy, sell ice cream. Something like that. As Halid said, if you want to make people happy, sell ice cream. And I don't know where I got the leader from. I don't know if it said, if you want to be a leader that makes people happy, sell ice cream or something like that, or I don't know, but I understood the point that was that if you want to be a leader, you're going to have to make people angry sometimes. You're going to have to do things that will not make them jump from their chairs out of happiness, but they do need it in order to succeed. There's a teacher in my school that believes that a motivated student is someone who actually understands the assignment or actually sees improvement in themselves or becomes competent at something. And I agree. Because most students at the beginning always start very low level. Of course, that's where they're there to learn. And then, you know, they work their way up. And if they never see any progress, well, they start not caring about school. But if they do see progress and they start seeing that things get easier for them and they learn more, yeah, I see it. I see it. It's like happy students are happy because they are learning and becoming more competent each day. And those that don't, well, they're having the opposite side effect. They're not growing. So yeah, as a leader, sometimes you have to do things. You have to move some students from chairs, away from their friends, sadly, just so that they can concentrate and do their work. Sometimes you have to get them the less attention or call parents. And yeah, that's all done because you want it to be better. You know they can be better. You just want to push them to want it for themselves. But you know, it's the safest environment to do it. What is safer than a school with many walls, very protective layers? Lots of teachers that care. Lots of adults that care. Everybody pitches in. And students, well, students are being themselves, you know, but if they get into arguments, the teachers are there to support or separate. They get into fights, teachers are there to prevent them or separate them if it gets to that point. They're always protected. They're never gonna be as protected as that in the wild, over here in the city. And over here, you get into a fight, you're done. Hopefully you don't get knocked out, because if you do, the person probably will kill you after. Or leave you there in the hot sun. Nobody's gonna care about you. Over here, if you get knocked out, yeah, somebody will be there to pick you up and get the other person punished, and then make things right afterwards. Make peace with one another. Or the parents talk to one another. Something gets done. In life over here, normally, no. You gotta involve the police, and you gotta involve the judge, and you gotta involve money. And a lot of time and days happen in between. And it's dangerous too. People can have knives and guns. It's better to learn how to be around people at a young age than to learn it much later. You know, it is what it is. It is what it is. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed it. The thing is, I have days like this where I enjoy it. And then, I have days when I don't. The issue is that, you know, the same amount of days that I enjoy, like, now, I enjoy, like, so good. Like, wow, I got this wonderful comment. There will be days where I get the opposite. I got the worst comment from a student or something. Or something else happens and it's just like, oh, no. I really gotta go.
I gotta get out of here.
It's a lot of work too, my dude. Teachers out there, we're in a downhill. This career. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of work behind the scenes, staying late, preparing the classroom, decorating, or grading. It's a lot of weekends spent at home, just doing schoolwork. And every time I go home too, I have to keep on working. My job never ends. And I wish it did, but there's just not enough hours inside the school to get it all done. Not to the level that they need it to be. And then the traffic, maybe that's something else that really I struggle with, but it's about an hour of traffic to my way home. And then it's maybe like 45 minutes for my way to work. I could live closer, but also, do I want to? Do I really want to live closer? Because the area is very sketchy and it's very expensive. So those are two things that don't mix well with me. How can it be so expensive but also so sketchy at the same time, so unsafe? No, that's not good. So, I don't think I would live close. The quality of life starts lowering so much getting an apartment nearby. At least to what I'm used to. I really like what I have. I really do. It's a nice apartment. Beautiful apartment. Fortunately, it's gonna keep going up in price. I gotta buy a house soon. But it is what it is. That's how it goes. And that's also a sad thing that's happening lately. Teachers cannot afford to live in the city they teach. That happens everywhere, I guess. Very hard to get rid of it, but it's happening right now to me. It happened. It was getting so expensive to live where I was living. And I live somewhere else for the same price. Maybe a little farther, but it's the same price and it's much better. Where I was living at, Yeah, it was random people at night knocking on doors, and there was just sketchy individuals outside. The gate never worked. I would wake up with people without their shirts just tweaking under the stairs. Potholes everywhere, construction all the time, things, pool was always dirty. Never maintained. I don't know, drug addicts were getting into the apartment and asking for my phone. Like, can I use your phone? It's like, no. How do you even get here? Because the gate was never working. The apartment was located in a sketchy area on top of that. So, yeah. That happened. So I had to move out. I cannot afford to live in Austin. I cannot afford to buy a house here. Nope, not with a teacher's salary. I don't think any middle class person can afford to buy one. Everybody either lucked out. All houses are worth 400 to 500. And they're not even nice houses. They're already crumbling. Very ugly, very old style. Nah, it's not. Not really nice. So that's the thing too, like, do I want to stay another year and suffer this traffic? No. I'm making the best I can by doing this podcast. And thank you for making it happen. Because this is the thing that's keeping me busy. Yeah, because job ends and I get home at 6 or 7. And then I gotta still do some more work at home. It sucks. My dream job is one where I can do it from home. I'd love this podcast to be my dream job. To become that. It'd be great. But it is what it is. And so, I don't know. It's almost like this alone is keeping me away from wanting to do a second year. The traffic is unbearable. And it's this construction that's happening here now, are we? But I have no faith that it's gonna end anytime soon. It's probably in the next 5 years or 10 years. This construction will be here. This traffic will just increase. The lanes are getting expanded, so we already know that that doesn't ever fix traffic. It just makes it worse. And then, well, teachers, we have a lot of work. I don't recommend this career to anybody unless you have a passion for it. If you have a passion, well, not even if you have passion, I recommend it, because there's one teacher in my school that has over 20 years, 25 years. He's very close to retiring. And he's very passionate about it. He loves it. But even him is, he's getting tired of all this stuff that's going on. Even he's getting tired. And that's a something for somebody who loves the career. I always look at the people that are at the highest level in my school, and I see their, I look at their lives, and I try to see if that's the lifestyle that I want to end up as. And it's just, the summers are, apparently they're great. I don't know about it. I bet they are. But also, it's rough. I thought teachers worked very little, because we have like 189 days of work. But when you actually account for hours, like we work, I don't know, 10 hours per day or 11 hours per day. Some of them go as crazy as 12 or more. And then we work weekends, and if you count for all those hours, weekends and the overtime, that is not paid, by the way, and you split it up and just create new days, new 8-hour days, then you end up with a very similar schedule of somebody who doesn't get summers off. We have about the same, maybe 20 days to 10 days less work than normal jobs. I looked into that. So I could literally reduce my pay, but work summers, let's say, and I make as much as a teacher that apparently has a higher pay, but doesn't work summers. And when I say higher pay, I mean higher pay than McDonald's, and higher pay than Chick-fil-A, higher pay than Walmart, HEB, Stalker, or higher pay than pest control. Not higher pay than a banker or a person working technology. Not higher than somebody with HR department or office. It is what it is. It really is what it really is. It doesn't have to be, but it is. And so I guess I'm just using now this podcast and this time to actually ponder the pros and cons. You see, I don't, the pros is stable job. Salary is okay. When I live with my wife and she is also a teacher, so two teacher salary is okay. But we have to split everything in half. We literally are not your traditional wife and husband, where the husband pays for everything. We almost follow like roommates type of deal when it comes to bills. We split everything in half. Rent, food, groceries, going out, restaurants, everything. Class supplies, at least we are doing that. Lesson planning, well, and the question, well, that's a pro. Job security too. I don't think my job will ever end. The schools are never gonna end. Technology just keeps getting implemented, but it's not gonna stop people from going to school. Even when COVID happened and teachers were online, it was still a person, a teacher there managing the class, and you still need a person, because these people are too young to be self-motivated to learn. Sure, you can throw them a laptop or an iPad and they can do some independent work, but that'll do it for like 10 minutes.
They need somebody there to motivate them or stop their fights or the trauma or just make sense of whatever they're feeling at the moment because their feelings are going all haywire. Yeah, we'll always need people. So yeah, job security is there. Especially in my school, which is Title I and is rough. Rough kids. Excellent leadership, by the way. I feel like we are the best of the worst. I always like that phrase. We are the best of the worst. It's a question. Do you want to be the worst of the best players in your team? Or you want to be the best of the worst players in the team? So, for example, for those who play video games, this has happened to you sometimes where your team loses. And when you check the high score, you are the one who is number one in high score. And everybody else below you. And you're like, what? How can I be the highest in this entire team? Like, damn, this team really sucks because I'm the highest. Like, they must suck because I'm the best. Like, I'm not really the best. I'm always in last place, but this time I'm first. So my team, something's going on. That is being the best of the worst. Being the opposite, it's like if you are in the video game and you just keep getting killed all the time. You keep losing, no matter what, you keep losing. And then somehow you win. Your team wins. And you're like, what in the... Wow, like, that my team carried me. Everybody, like, I don't deserve this win. And then you look at the high score and you're like last place of your team. But then you got some really three people that are super tryhards and they have this incredible high score that, you know, your team wins. That is being the worst of the best. Being the worst player at the best team out there. Or do you want to be the best player at the worst team out there? And so, my school, I categorized it as being in the rough end of the city of Austin and having some rough interactions with students with all backgrounds, and we don't really have an advantage, let's say, over anybody. Title I's are schools that are deficient in money, or like have students who are deficient in money, but a lot more goes on into that. A lot more. A lot of family, you know, family missing or home situations that are not great at all. And so it destroys their learning experience. They kind of have a lot more in their place than they should at that age. So they cannot concentrate in what they're supposed to in school. So, yeah, working there and dealing with that is not like I'm at an advantage or they are an advantage. Yet. Anyways, and there's multiple schools like that. So I would say, and everybody knows that Title I schools tend to be like that, the worst in terms of public school, I guess. They're not the worst because I like, when you're there, they're not really the worst. But if you want to compare it to a school with much higher ratings and passing percentages or money allocated, or they have a football field, they actually have sports, they have more elective classes, people there have more money, and so parents are more involved because they have the time and not the drama, you know, things like that. And you know it, you know, because like our school doesn't really have a lot of things. Barely, you know, because of those low funds, we can barely afford elective classes. We only have maybe like two in the entire school, and everybody has those two, which doesn't make it much of an elective class in my opinion if you really don't have an option. We barely have any electives, and we don't have a football field. We have, you know, just a patch of grass. It's a very nice patch of grass, and the students love soccer, so that makes up for it. But yeah, we're not like nicest out there. And so in terms of that, I'd say we are the worst. But in terms of leadership in my school,
and teachers, we are the best. There's no drama, and if there is between teachers, it lasts about a day. It gets fixed real quick. Everybody there is such a great adult. I guess it makes sense because we deal with a lot of that all day long, and the type of environment that we are, a lot of people quit. A lot of people don't come back the next year. So whoever can handle that environment will not stay in that environment for a fact. It just leaves the most interesting people in that job, the most kind, the most patient, the most emotionally aware people, the most hardworking people. It leaves them there. It doesn't mean that those who leave are also not that. They definitely are. It could also be just aspects of life. They gotta move, or they gotta live somewhere else, or, you know, maybe they need to go somewhere else where there's a little more respect from the students. But, you know, nothing. That's what I've noticed. So, it's like a barrier. And so, not a single issue with the principal. I've read a lot of nightmare stories from Reddit about other schools. There's not a single issue with admin. Not a single one. Everybody's so responsive to us, teachers. The principal is really, really, really good. Really good. He's just amazing. He's like that guy that... It's like that leader, like that guy that is learning a lot about leadership and loves to read about it and loves to implement it and actually believes in systems and it's working really well and you can see it. It's that classic dream, like top to bottom. Top leadership does well and it trickles down. That is incredible. And yeah, there's no problem there. So thanks to that, we the teachers can actually focus on the students. And there's also a lot of that happening and making the students a lot better too. They're becoming better people. They're learning a lot more. They're becoming more confident. There's still fights and there's still drama, but it's a lot less and it's a lot more pinpointed. A whole lot more. We know who it is and how often it's been going on, and you know, we deal with that. However, a school can deal with that. Suspensions or detentions or call to parents, parent meetings. In the beginning, there was a lot. There was a lot. Too much to chew. Right now, it's finally becoming bearable. And so, yeah, that's something that I will never find, I believe. So that's a con, in my opinion. Well, it's a pro of this school. And if I leave, it's a con. Because I'm not going to leave to another school. If I want to live closer to my job, I wouldn't change schools. This school is pretty good. Pretty good. Even though it's really harsh environment, it's pretty good. And so, yeah, the pro, I guess I would say, I would add it to that. Great leadership, no drama with the adults. And I love that. And I've seen people say that it's okay to have drama with the students, because at least you can change the students. You can talk to them and give consequences or motivate them and say, I'll get you this if you behave, and you know, you'll get a prize for this and that, and boom, boom, boom. But for adults, you cannot do that. For adults, the drama is the drama, and you cannot change the adult. You cannot. And we don't have many issues of that sort. Which I like very much. So not a big bad thing. But you know, it is what it is. I'm looking right now at a very nice car on my left. One of those convertible, beautiful cars. What is it? A Pontiac Solstice Black 3XP or something like that. I couldn't read it. And I bet you that guy's not a teacher. I bet you he's not. So I just look at people like that with things, pretty cool toys that I would love to have one day. And you know, he looks as young as me, maybe a little older, but not too old. And I look at things like that. Maybe that's my con. I will never have that in this career. I never had that. If I do, I'll be in huge debt. And it'll probably be a terrible decision on my part. Especially if I have a family. Maybe as a teacher I could afford that if I never get a family and I just save up all my money and, you know, get in debt for that type of car. And I get in debt for a couple 10 years, but for now, no, I don't think so. That's a con, actually. I was listing the pros, this is the con now. Con, I will never be able to own pretty toys like that. No nice cars or cool houses. Or even a house at all. That's actually becoming a problem right now. In this age, time and age. Tough to get a house. But that's honestly on everybody. Not just being a teacher. But yeah, no cool toys. I'll never be able to earn more than $80,000. Or even 70. The cap is pretty low. I know, depending where you teach. But yeah, I teach in Texas and I don't plan to move. I like this place. And now there's more people coming around to it that they also like it. I like it. So we got guns. I like that. I love guns. I'm not moving. It is what it is, right? So that's the con. I'll never be able to own something like that. Another con is the drive. The drive is an hour each way. It destroys my day immensely. I found a way to make it work by making this podcast. Before, I found it by listening to audiobooks. Yeah. But I think I can do that with any job, honestly. Even if it was a 30-minute drive. Or if it was a 20-minute drive, I could get home and still do my podcast at home. I don't see a reason why not. And it's only gonna get worse, this drive, if I ever get kids then have to drop them off at school or something. Who's gonna take care of them if that doesn't exist anymore? And now that 1 hour ride becomes 1 hour and a half. Yeah, it becomes terrible. And then I wanna move houses, and how am I gonna move houses with this money? I don't know. Another con. We work too many hours, way too many. I get home and I work more. I really just want a job where I get home and it's over. The moment I step out, it's over. No more thinking about work. I would love that. I would also love a job where I could see it when the job is done. I could see it with my eyes when it's done. So like building something, you see it when it's done. You see where you're left off. You don't have to think about it. Well, even a podcast, I could see it when it's done. Once I edit it and upload it, it's done. Or if once I recorded it, it's done. I just need to put it in my schedule to edit it and upload it another time. But with teaching, it's never done. You could always improve your lessons. You could always add more. You could always give instructions better. You could always motivate students more. You could always do this, and that. 1,000 things you could always do. Always. And then the reason why the job is going in a spiral downhill is because there's a lot to be asked for teachers. Now we have to fill out forms for students that are high needs, you know, SPED. They're, I think when I was in school, they used to be called different. They used to be called special ed, special education, special ed. And then that became a bad word. Because, you know, kids make fun of that. Because you're special ed. And then it just became SPED. Which is the same, honestly. Yeah, not that I think about it, it's the same. I don't know why before it was called special ed, but now it's just SPED. They removed the word special. Anyways, and we have to do a lot of paperwork for that. And I'm not even the SPED teacher. And there's a teacher that does that, like, wow. There was so much stuff going on that they need a separate teacher for that, and they need multiple. It's like, wow, that's crazy. And then they have to attend after school parent meetings. You know, we're salaried, so we don't get paid for that. I have to attend maybe more trainings when the kids are out of school and they do their thing. They have their holidays, which they have a lot in here in Austin. They have way too many, way more than I used to have at my own school. They have some random holidays. I guess they're really, they want to appeal to all cultures, so they get some Indian holidays and some Arabic holidays and some holidays I've never heard of. So I'm just from Mexico. And even there, like in the border, we didn't have any Mexican holidays. We had American holidays, and that's it. And even those, even in those American holidays, we didn't get the day off. Even then, it was just like 8 American holidays, and even then we didn't. Like, I remember we didn't used to get off Martin Luther King Day back in my day. We didn't get President's Day. We didn't get Abraham Lincoln Day, or like, who was it? Christopher Columbus Day. I remember there was a Christopher Columbus Day. We didn't even get that. We never did. The only days we would get were Thanksgiving and winter, December. That's it. Now, let me see here. I'm at a stop sign. I'm gonna take my time. Here we go. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff that we didn't get, you know? And so here they do. Anyways, the con of that is that we teachers don't get that day off, actually. The kids do, which is great for them. But we have to attend these training days. Just training. Every single time it's training, training. And it's like stuff in the computer where you just go through these boring slides that you have to do independently. You know, government teachings, which are never fun. And let me see here. This is a bus stop that has stopped. I don't know if I need to go. I think I'll go. It's weird. That or, yeah, we don't get that. We get training, or we have to go to other schools and we assist classes. And so, yeah, constant trainings, no days off in that aspect. We also have constant meetings every week, which my school is great at that. We only have one meeting, 1 hour meeting. So from 4 to 5, every Monday. And even that seems like a lot. To be honest, it's a lot. It is a lot. A meeting every single Monday. That is a lot. Especially when it's after hours and you're not getting paid for it. It is a lot. But compared to other schools that I've heard of, these schools, they have one of those meetings for 3 times a week. They have it on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. And that is horrible. Like, in that regard, I'm lucky. But also, not so lucky as I think I am. Yeah, so lucky, but not so lucky. Yeah, I'm reversing here into the parking spot. I know there's other jobs that have meetings like that, but you get paid for them. Always. At least in most of them. Unless it's salaried, I guess. But even when it's salaried, I don't know if they work overtime. Maybe once in a while they do, I don't know. I've never had another job to compare to this school. Maybe if I did, I would be less harsh with it, this decision, and be more okay with staying as a teacher. Maybe. I don't know. That's a con. What other con is there? So there's the hour driving back and forth. The constant workload. Oh yeah, the workload is massive. We always get emails all the time. Everything is changing all the time. Even while you're giving class, 10 things change and you have to be constantly checking your emails or your messages from other teachers. I mean, other teachers may come in and ask for something or need help on something. I don't know. It's like a lot of, and if a kid misbehaves, you have to type it in the computer and document it. It's way too much. Something that's gotten easier according to better in teachers is grading, because now the computer can do it for you and you don't have to spend time grading and doing the averages anymore, so that's great. That saved apparently a lot of time from teachers, but also all that time that it saved, they just took it away by doing all the other stuff. The pay is never gonna go up. They tried to put it behind a score wall, you know, But even that isn't that good. So the pay is a con. The distance is a con. The respect the students give you. Oof, that's tough. Now I'm getting respect. Now I'm getting a lot of respect, which is beautiful to see, like, finally. But boy, it's too late to start getting respect now. We're like 2 months before school is over. I probably got disrespected for 8 months. The things these students tell you, man, they're rough. It's just so rough. The disrespect is massive. It's super massive. And, well, it is what it is, you know. It's teaching the new generation. And it's also teaching in the culture of America. But yeah. And to repeat this next year, like, the disrespectful part, that has to be repeated, honestly. Because every year there's new students, at least for me, a sixth grader. I'll get new students from elementary and I'll go all over that again. All their teenager hormones and their disrespect and the learning and everything. And all the behavior they learned over there as elementary students. I don't know. Honestly, it's a lot of cons there. Workload. When I get home. So you see, I arrived at 5. It's rare that I do, but for the next 5 hours or 4 hours, I will be just planning more lessons, grading, and eating, and then going to sleep and repeat tomorrow. And then weekends, I'll just be getting ready for the work week. And another thing that is rough about teaching is the mental health, because maybe some of you get home at 5 and it's pretty cool. You can get home and you can play some games or you can chill with your people there or pets or whatever for like have a free mind, but I can't because my mind is tired. I've been speaking for 8 hours to 10 hours straight. I've been stopping fights. I've been walking around, signing sheets. I've been manipulating students like, yeah, no, this is totally fine. It's a fun assignment. It's not as hard as last time. You know, I have to convince them to do the work in some aspect, to give prizes. And all that takes a toll so that when I get home, I just want to die. I want to get on my phone on TikTok and die. That's it. Like, wow, alcoholism. Thank goodness I don't love beer. Thank goodness I don't, because I would be an alcoholic. I love video games and I love TikTok, and that's what I've become. I go at home, and I just spend my hours doing that. I would need to de-stress so bad. So yeah, that's something that's rough. It's really hard to get home and actually de-stress. It's hard to spend your weekends enjoying them. Even Saturday, even Friday. It's hard to spend... Like, honestly, my favorite day tends to be Friday, I guess, just because I'm done. All my stress goes away, but that stress picks up as soon as I wake up on Saturday, because I have 1,000 things to do. And then that stress gets bigger on Sunday, because Monday's coming. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot more cons than pros. I'd probably just mention 3 pros and 5 cons or 6. And the cons are rough. So yeah, students don't know what we go through. I didn't know the teachers went through this much before. And also the fact that the government always, you know, we are always being looked at with a thin magnifying glass, and we have to, you know, we can't horse around at all. We have to do our thing. There's no playing around. And so yeah, thank you. That's it. Just make sure you take care of your soul. Whatever your job you have, take care of it. Find time to do things that you still enjoy. For me, will be exercise right now and podcasting. Thank you very much. And yeah, find that. Do it whenever you can. work hard because that's the only thing that we have to do in this life. I mean, the only thing we are able to do. And that's it. You know, thank you for listening to my pros, which are a very happy tone, and now cons, which are a very sad tone. But I'll end it with this note. Tomorrow, I'll repeat it all over again. And Thursday the same, and Friday the same, and every week until it's finally over. And that's what keeps me going, knowing that it's gonna be over. That sweet, sweet summer, that's what keeps all the teachers going. We're all very stressed out, just so you know. We're all stressed out. It's that time of the year where we are all stressed out. Alrighty. Have a good day, my fellas. Enjoy the rest of whatever you're doing. Thank you for tuning in. Remember when people said tune in because you actually had a radio circle that says tune in or tune out, and you had to like move it around, and that's how you tune into it, the radio station. So thank you for tuning in, or thank you for clicking. Oh, look at my age. I said clicking. I was gonna say thank you for clicking play button, but no, thank you for tapping the play button in your Spotify or Apple Podcast. Or wherever you make it your podcast. Thank you.